Hi everyone, this is Steve. Welcome to Pacific Life Church Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to check out our website, pacificlifechurch.org, and subscribe to our email list. The email is actually the best way to keep up with everything going on around here at PLC. Most importantly, I hope the following presentation will inspire you to follow Jesus, love each other, and serve your neighbors. Well, hey everybody, wow, that was loud. Hey everybody, good to see you. And for all of you that are online and joining us this morning, good to see you this beautiful Memorial Day weekend and have you join with us. Hey, today we're going to jump into the last part of our series, Breaking Bad. And this has been quite a journey. We have been visiting with the different judges. There's 12 different judges that are in the book of Judges. And this is a 300-year period of really, really intense, bad history. There's probably no other way to put it, and that's why we've called our series Breaking Bad. And today, we're going to jump into one of the most notorious stories, probably one of the most interesting stories. And if you went to church when you were young, you've probably seen it, the story of Samson and Delilah. That's going to be our story today. So Samson actually was a judge of Israel. And a lot of times when we think of a judge, we think of, you know, kind of what, like somebody who wears a gown and you know, a gavel. That's not it. They were just leaders of Israel at this particular time. So what we're going to do is we're going to start with a cliff notes kind of the story of Samson. And it's a big story. We're going to go through a few chapters, but we're just going to sort of hit the highlights, or maybe I should say the lowlifes, as we go along here. So we'll begin with this. Once again, if you've been following us, Israel wandered away from God. Surprise, surprise, right? So remember, over these 300 years, you know, there'd be like 40 good years, and then there'd be 40 bad years, and then God would bring a judge. And when, as I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, when you look and you read these stories, at some point you're like, good, how stupid, how dumb can you be to just keep doing that when you know the consequences are not going to be good? And then we realize that sometimes we are Israel. Sometimes we wander away from God. So I guess the point is not to be maybe quite so judgmental of the people that we're reading about. In Judges chapter 13, verse 1, it says this. It says, again, Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord handed them over to the Philistines, who oppressed them for 40 years. Man, that is a long time to be oppressed. So what happens is at the end of this 40 years, God sees the misery of Israel once again, and he wants to help. And so one day, there's a woman who is barren. And of course, in those times, a woman to be married and not be able to have children was like a curse. But she gets a visit from an angel of the Lord. And the angel gives her this incredible news and says to her, you're going to have a son. And so she's just beside herself with joy. She waits till her husband, Manoah, gets home. And she tells her husband, you're not going to believe this. I got an angel that came and visited me today. He says that we're going to have a son. And here's the thing about this boy that we're going to raise. There's some very, very special instructions that come with raising this son that we're going to have. He's going to have to take a Nazirite vow. And the Nazirite vow is something that really plays very strongly into this story. And Nazirite vow, you might recall that John the Baptist took that Nazirite vow. So this is what it would mean. You could never, ever cut your hair. You could never, ever drink alcohol, and you could never, ever touch anything that was dead. There were other parts of that vow as well, but these are the three main ones that we're going to sort of focus on today. So in Judges chapter 13, verses 24 and 25, it says, when her son was born, she named him Samson. And the Lord blessed him as he grew up, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir. That's a good thing. The Spirit of the Lord began to stir. So far, so good. And then Samson grows up. He becomes an adult where he has to start making decisions about life for himself. This is where things begin to go in a different direction. I don't know how many of you are parents of adult children, but you know, there comes that day, there will come that day when your child is no longer a child and 18 years old and whatever it is, and they leave, and you're like, you're just thinking to yourself, man, I hope they make good choices. You know, we did the best we could. And so this is where they are. So it's time for Samson to live his life. And unfortunately, in the story, he immediately begins making some really, really bad decisions. So this is where we're going to pick it up. If you have your Bibles or your phone or something like that, go to Judges chapter 14, and we're going to read the first three verses. One day when Samson was in Timnah, one of the Philistine women caught his eye. And when he returned home, he told his father and mother, "A young Philistine woman in Timnah caught my eye, and I want to marry her. Get her for me." Now, I use that voice because Samson, as you know, is kind of like the Incredible Hulk. So you kind of envision this big guy with maybe a big gnarly voice. And he's apparently already very demanding of his parents. And notice he didn't say, "Hey, you know, there's this woman I saw, and she seems really..." And he said, "Get her for me." You know, it's like, all right. His father and mother objected. "Isn't there anyone even one woman in our tribe or among all the Israelites you could marry?" They ask, "Why must you go to this pagan Philistine to find a wife?" Now, this is also important to the story because, as we know, the Israelites were not to marry outside of the Israelites. They were to marry there was several tribes, of course, of Israel, and there was a great variety of people that he could have married. But instead, what we see in Samson is he's a carouser. Because when he went to Timnah, he was in a place he wasn't supposed to be. He was in Philistine enemy territory. These were the enemies of Israel. So Samson told his father, "Get her for me. She looks good to me." So he's starting to sort of size up his character a little bit, or maybe his lack of. So what happens next would make a really good Netflix series. I really believe this, that they could, if you took the story of Samson, you could have a whole series done, and it would just be fascinating. So Samson, he off to Timnah to meet up with this girl that he's got the hots for, and his parents are going to meet him there. So what happens is that on the way there, Samson is attacked by a lion. And this is the first time that we see the manifestation of his incredible strength. He's like, he's the Incredible Hulk. In fact, I think, do we have a picture of a lion here? I wanted to just give you a sense of what it would be like for a man to, I don't see it on the screen there. Is it going to come? All right. Well, anyway, he takes this lion and he just says he tore the lion apart with his hands. Like, wow, okay. So he's obviously got great strength that actually comes from the Lord. So then he goes on his way and he meets up with this Philistine hottie that he has. And so he's going to meet her. And then later on, he says to her, "I like you. I want to marry you. And so let's get married." She says yes. And then they come back. So he is going to have a bachelor party. But before he gets there, on his way back, he runs into the lion that he had killed. And in the carcass, there's a hive that has taken place. And there's honey in there. And so he reaches in and he grabs the honey and he starts eating it on his way to the wedding. What did he do? He reached into something that was what? Dead. So already, I mean, you know, he's marrying somebody he's not supposed to marry. He's violated his oath to be a Nazirite by reaching in and touching something that was dead. Not only just touching it, but then eating from it as well. So what we see here is a clear disregard for the things of God. I mean, this is just this kind of this progression of violations of, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. The Nazirite vow, whatever, maybe that was more about mom and dad than anything else, and I'm just going to do my thing. So next, he comes to his bachelor party. This is a really interesting bachelor party because they're actually not his friends. They are assigned to him from his would-be, his going-to-be wife. And so they give him 30 Philistine guys to party with. And so while he's there at his bachelor party, he throws a bet down. And in the bet, he says, he actually gives them a little riddle. And it's a kind of a cute little poem that he made up. And the poem is about the lion that he killed. And what he bets them is clothing. So it's 30 linen robes and 30 sets of clothing to these 30 guys. And to us, we're like, well, that doesn't sound like a really big bet. But it was a huge bet. In those times, clothing was very, very valuable. And so the bet goes down, and the guys, they accept the challenge. About 3 days go by, and they can't figure it out. And they're really, really pretty angry about this because it's going to cost them a lot of money. And so they go to his wife. So about 3 days into the ceremony, they have the ceremony, she has his wife, and they say to her, hey, we want you to find out the answer to the riddle. And if you don't, then we're going to burn your father's house down with you in it. And so, yeah, pretty gnarly, right? And so she goes to Samson, and she says to him, please, you've got to tell me the answer to your riddle. And Samson's like, no way, man. I'm not telling anybody about that, you know? We put a bet down, and I'm not going to, and so, but she keeps begging him, and please, I love you. You've got to tell me. And so he finally tells her, and of course, she runs straight to these 30 guys and gives them the answer to the riddle, which absolutely just sets him off. He's absolutely furious about the whole thing. So this is what he says to these guys, a very kind of a famous verse, chapter 14, verse 18. He says to them, if you hadn't plowed with my heifer, you wouldn't have solved my riddle. Now, I'm just going to say to all of you husbands, and if you have a girlfriend, don't ever use the word heifer. That's not going to go down well. Okay, different time, different culture. So next, Samson heads over to Ashkelon, which was one of the five principal cities of the Philistines, and gets revenge on these, he's going to get revenge on these guys. So what he does is he goes over there and he kills 30 other guys in the Philistine territory, and then he robs them, and he takes their clothes back to be able to pay off his debt of the bet that he owes. Now, as we're reading this, it's like, are you kind of going, this guy is something else, man. I mean, he's got anger issues, he's killing people, and like, you know, he's violating, you know, his oaths and everything. And it might be difficult for us to understand how God could even use a guy like Samson. But here's what we know about God, and that is that he's always trying to work out good in our life. So he's dedicated to the Lord when he's very young, and God is still with him despite the fact that he's behaving really, really badly. And when I read that, what it does, and this is to me, and maybe you feel the same, it gives me hope for me. Because there have been times in my life when I was just not where I should be spiritually with God. I was out of sync with God. And you know what God did? He still used me. He was still using me despite myself to help other people, and most likely has done the same with. So does this mean that we, I got a hall pass. I can go out and start sinning and God will still use me. This is not what this is about, okay? That would be treading on the amazing grace of God. And we are never, ever to do that. So we go to chapter 15, and you know what? Things get even crazier. Samson cools off a little bit, so, you know, he goes home. He thinks things over. And he goes, well, okay, it's time to go back and get the bride. So he goes back to get the bride, and guess what happens next? His father-in-law has given his bride away to the best man. Now he's really angry. I mean, he's just furious. And so he just goes on this tirade, and he just begins to basically exact his revenge on the Philistines, and he just starts killing people, and he just becomes this terrorist to the Philistines. And so here's the weird part about this is in the midst of it, God is using this terrible thing that's going on to actually deliver Israel from the Philistines. So the rest of the chapter, he's just killing people. At one point, he kills 1,000 people, all in one setting. Go to chapter 16, and Samson continues to break bad. And at this point, the question that we should ask ourselves is, this story even in the Bible? This is craziness. Why would God tell us this story? But every story in the Bible is there for a purpose. And there's always something that we can learn from the story. So what is the takeaway here? One of the keys to the book of Judges, and by the way, I hope that you will read the book of Judges. I mean, you cannot make this stuff up. That's why I'm always saying, read the Bible. If you've never read the book of Judges, you're going to read it, and you're going to go, oh my gosh, you know. But you're going to learn some things as well. So one of the keys to looking at the book of Judges is this. Don't be a judge. Don't judge. Is that hard for us not to judge? Think of the last 2 years. I mean, every time you turn around, if you get social media, if you are paying attention to anything that's going on, judging, judging, judging. And what did Jesus say? He said, don't do it. He said, don't judge, lest you be judged. Because to the extent that you judge, that's how you're going to be judged. And I don't know about you. I take those words really seriously. Not to say that I haven't had my moments and had to repent of judging. But this is kind of a theme that runs through the book. Don't judge. Let leave that up to God. So, 16, one day Samson went to the Philistine town of Gaza. Now, what is he doing? He's going to enemy territory again. He's carousing. He's looking around. And it says, one day he went there and he slept with a prostitute. We're like, wow, this guy's a piece of work. Slept with a prostitute. You know, we can look back on that time and we can say, what a bunch of just lowlifers. You know, the way that they lived, the people that they were. And I was thinking about this, just thinking about our own country and about our own issues. Do we have any right today, the way things are going in our country, to look back and call them names? I mean, so basically Samson he slept with a prostitute, he was a carouser, basically just a weak man with women. But then you look at the headlines and everything that's been going on in our country, and there is sex scandal after sex scandal after sex scandal. And whether it's with politicians or even with the clergy, it's just all over the place. And we wonder, what kind of a country are we in? You know, are we any better in 2022? Pornography is a huge problem in this country. Huge. We are the number one consumer of pornography and the number one producer of pornography in this country. And it got a lot bigger in the last couple of years. Billions and billions of dollars are spent on that. Unless we just kind of blow it off and go, well, you know, boys will be boys or girls will be girls or whatever, however you want to look at it. Oh, how much it pains our country, how it hurts families, how it hurts women and children, how it objectifies people, how it turns something that it's such a beautiful thing that God gave us, the gift of sex, and then it turns it into something that's just not that at all. And that's been happening. Do you know, there's a lot of countries around the world today that look at our country and go, you guys are disgusting, because basically they're better than we are in those areas. So what's the theme of Judges? Don't what? Don't judge. So for us to look back and judge them or even judge anybody else, man, we got to look at ourselves today. So there's two questions that emerge from this story that I want us to particularly look at, okay? Just two questions. And the first question is this: what will you give your strength to? What will you give your strength to? In Judges chapter 16, verse 4, it says, sometime later, Samson fell in love with a woman named Delilah, who lived in the valley of Sora. So what was Samson? He was carousing again. What was he doing? He goes back into enemy territory, and he finds this woman that catches his eye. Also, he goes to an area that's full of vineyards. What is he not supposed to do? Not to have alcohol. By this time, he's violated that one for sure. You know, he's a party boy. He's a carouser. He had physical strength. He's the Incredible Hulk on the one hand. He's amazing. On the other hand, he is a very, very weak man. He can't control his passions. And by now, with all of his horrible relationships, you would have thought that he had learned a few things, but apparently not. Samson was giving his strength to his lust. And it was making him a weak man, because that's what lust will do to us. This is what unbridled passion will do to us, too, when we allow our weaknesses to control us. So here's the question. What are you giving your strength to? Like the majority of your strength. That's a really penetrating question when you think about it. What are you giving your strength? Because whatever you're giving your strength to will own you and it will control you. Samson was, for all practical purposes, he was a sex addict. But not only was he controlled by that, he was also controlled by his anger. Some people give their strength to their anger. Have you ever thought about what anger cost you? Have you ever thought about how much emotional energy you burn up when you get angry? And there have been a lot of angry people the last couple of years, really angry. And I was reading a medical report, I've read several of them actually, about what happens to you in your body physiologically when you get angry. It's not good, just telling you, man. It's not good. Will you give your strength to that? There's a lot of other things that you could give your strength to. You could give your strength to your career. Nothing wrong with having a career, but when you give so much of your strength and your time and your everything to that career, you might burn through a couple of marriages. You might have some kids that resent you one day and say, you know, I just wish you'd been there for us. What will you give your strength to is the question. I choose to give my strength, and I always haven't always done it perfectly, but I choose and try to every day give my strength to God so that I would live my life in a way that would glorify God. Second question is this: who will you tell your secrets to? Let's pick up the story in chapter 16, verse 4. Sometime later, Samson fell in love with a woman named Delilah who lived in the Valley of Sorek. And the rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, entice Samson to tell you what makes him so strong and how he can be overpowered and tied up secretly. And then each of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. And so Delilah said to Samson, please tell me what makes you so strong and what it takes to tie you up securely. And Samson replied, well, if I were tied up with 7 new bowstrings and that have not yet been dried, and I would become as weak as anyone else. And so the Philistine rulers brought Delilah 7 new bowstrings, and she tied Samson up with them. And she had hidden some men in one of the inner rooms of her house, and she cried out, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you. But Samson snapped the bowstrings like a piece of string bowstrings as a piece of string snaps when it is burned by fire. And so the secret of his strength was not yet discovered. All right. So he's on the verge of possibly telling one of his secrets. He's love struck, right? He's living this crazy dysfunctional life and with crazy dysfunctional relationships. And again, that's when we give our strength away, when we give in to our weaknesses, that's what's going to happen. I mean, the stupid stuff like, will you tie me up? Oh, that's going to be fun. And you can just see him just falling into this lust and passion. Recently, I read about maybe some of you heard this on the news, I read about a 46-year-old guy who was passing himself off as a physician. And that he had a lot of money. And so he got on all these dating apps. It was a guy out of Florida. And he began to con on these dating apps all these different women and he would tell them, he goes, I'm a physician. I'm very successful. I have a lot of money. And so he would gain their confidence and get them to sort of fall in love with him. And then they would tell him secrets. And their secrets were their bank accounts. Their secrets were all their financial stuff. And he conned them out of $1.3 million by doing this. Now, it would be easier for us to get a judge, right? And go, oh, how stupid. Like, who would ever do that? But doesn't love do stupid things to us sometimes? I mean, honestly, don't look around. The person next to you, don't raise your hand. Has love ever caused you to do something stupid? Probably all of us go, yeah, yeah, I've, I've done some pretty dumb things. That's why one of my favorite, actually most accurate verses in the Bible is found in the prophet Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, where he says, "The heart is deceitful, and above all things beyond cure, who can understand it?" How many of you heard the expression, "follow your heart"? Really bad advice. Really bad advice. Some of you know that, true, because you followed your heart and then you got burnt and you're like, wow, that led me to a place that, into a situation or decision that wasn't good. So who are you telling your secrets to? Let's read on, verse 10, 14, see what happens. Afterward, Delilah said to him, "You've been making fun of me and telling me lies. Now please tell me how you can be tied up securely, Samson." Samson replied, "Well, if I were tied up with brand new ropes that had never been used, I would become as weak as anybody else." And so Delilah took new ropes and tied him up with them, and the men were hiding in the inner room as before. And again, Delilah cried out, "Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you." But again, Samson snapped the ropes from his arms as if they were thread. Then Delilah said, "You've been making fun of me and telling me lies. Now tell me how you can be tied up securely." Samson replied, "If you were to weave the 7 braids of my hair into the fabric of your loom and tighten it with the loom shuttle, I would become as weak as anyone else." Notice how he's getting closer and closer to the truth, closer and closer to the secret. And so while he slept, Delilah wove the 7 braids of his hair into a fabric, and then she tightened it with the loom shuttle and again cried out, "Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you." But Samson awoke up, pulled back the loom shuttle, and yanked his hair away from the loom and the fabric. All right. It's getting very, very close there. What's going to happen next? At this point, Samson has violated all of the Nazirite vows except one. And that one is he's not cut his hair. But I want you to notice here how he's flirting with disaster. It's fun. He's been lured into this lustful, sort of dysfunctional thing that he's in, and he's just at the edge. He's just at the brink of disaster. Now, it has something to do with my hair, which begs the question, and maybe you online or you're here today, and you're flirting with disaster in some area of your life, and it's kind of fun, and it's kind of exciting, and you know, you're kind of there right now. If that's you, back off. If that's you, step away. Maybe there's a person that you are infatuated with, and you clearly they're a person that is off limits because you are married, or they're off limits for some other reason, and you're like, I know I shouldn't, you know, be in that relationship, or I shouldn't fantasize about them, whatever. Back away from it. Danger, danger, danger. So, it could be something else in your life too. It could be an addiction. You might be flirting with the danger of your finances and just spending, 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 and you're just going down, down, down. What would that be? What do you need to step away from today? See what happens. Verse 15, then Delilah pouted. Oh, I hate when they pout. Then Delilah pouted, "How could you tell me you love me when you don't share your secrets with me? You've made fun of me these 3 times now, and you still haven't told me what makes you so strong." She tormented him with her nagging day after day until he was sick to death of it. Finally, Samson shared his secret with her. "My hair has never been cut," he confessed, "for I was dedicated to God as a Nazirite from birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me and I would become as weak as anyone else." And Delilah realized that he had finally told her the truth, and so she sent for the Philistine rulers. "Come back one more time," she said, "for he has finally told me his secret." And so the Philistine rulers returned with the money in their hands. And Delilah lulled Samson to sleep with his head on her lap. And then she called in a man to shave off the 7 locks of his hair. In this way, she began to bring him down. And his strength left him. And then she cried out, "Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you." And when he woke up, he thought, I will do as before and shake myself free. And this is probably the saddest verse in the entire story. But he didn't realize the Lord had left him. He didn't realize the Lord had left him. And so the Philistines captured him, and they gouged out his eyes, and they took him to Gaza, where he was bound with bronze chains and forced to grind grain in the prison. But before long, his hair began to grow out. Wow. Such a sad part of his story. He told his and it cost him everything. Everything. Who will you tell your secrets to? And if you do, how much will they cost you? Will you be betrayed because of those secrets? In verse 20, he says, he didn't realize the Lord had left him. You know, have you ever thought about what it would take for the Lord to leave you? How much like you'd have to do, how crazy you'd have to be for the Lord to leave you? But look at his life. I mean, at some point, he's just like, I'm doing my own thing. I don't care about the Nazarite vow. I don't care about what my parents taught me when I was growing up. I don't care about any of this stuff. I'm just going to live my life. I want to make a whole bunch of bad choices because I just don't care. And at some point, just left to his own devices, God says, all right. One thing God will never do, he loves us, he loves us, he loves us, but he will never, ever kidnap us and make us be something that, I mean, at the end of the day, we're free. We can do what we want. Look what happens to Samson. And this kind of, in a metaphorical sense, will happen to us. His eyes are gouged out, so he loses his sight. And he's taken away to enemy territory, and he becomes a slave. When you and I give in to our passions and to our weaknesses, we become slaves of a kind. He basically had total disregard for God, and he cost him everything. So let me ask you this question. Do you have a secret that's hurting you? Do you have a secret you know it's hurting your life today? And here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want you to encourage you to, first of all, tell God your secret. Because he already knows it. So tell God your secret. But then you got to take the next step, and you got to tell somebody else your secret. Otherwise, it'll remain a secret. You got to find somebody that can help you. You got to find somebody that you can trust. You got to take that dark secret, and you've got to put that secret out in the light to receive deliverance from whatever that is. And remember this, as bad as things get, as dark as your secret might be, God is always there for you. Because with God, there's always hope. In verse 22, it says this, but before long, his hair began to grow out. Wow. So what does that mean? Well, you know, to Samson, it didn't mean anything, apparently. Like, whatever, his hair is growing. But to God, God said, no, I got this boy. Even though you have walked away from me and violated everything that I'm about, I'm going to stay true to you. And as his hair began to grow out, his strength began to come back. So here's how the story ends. The Philistines one day have this huge party. And they've got this big temple. And there's these pillars that hold up this temple. And so they're supporting this temple. This temple is huge. There's 3,000 people up there that are partying, all the Philistines. And if you read the story, they're all getting drunk and everything, and they're having a good time. And finally somebody says, hey, bring Samson out. We need some entertainment. So they bring Samson out, you know, and he's like a big carnival clown at this point. And he's got a guy who guides him by the hand, and he walks him over and so that they're all laughing at him and making fun of him. And he says to the guy that's leading him, hey, can you bring me over to the supporting pillars of this temple. Now, obviously, doesn't know what he's like, why he would ask this question, so he goes, sure. And he brings Samson over to the supporting pillars of this temple. And there's 3,000 people above him. And at that point, Samson has a plan. And at that point, one more time, he prays. And in verse 28, it says, then Samson prayed to the Lord, Sovereign Lord, remember me again, O God. Please strengthen me just this one more time. I know I've been horrible. I know I've walked away from you. I'm ashamed of myself, but this one more time. And in that moment, it says that he put his hands on those pillars and he pushed them apart, and the entire temple came crashing down. And in one fell swoop, 3,000 3,000 of the enemy went down, just like that, the Philistines. You know what's interesting? The Philistines would never, ever be the same again. Yeah, they show up again in Scripture a little bit later on, but they would never, ever have the power that they had in that moment. And so this is the kicker of the whole story. God answers this prayer, and he comes through at the end, and you're like, wow, that's a pretty disgusting way to end your life, because Samson died too. And it's kind of a forgettable story. Actually, it's not a forgettable story, because he shows up again in Scripture, believe it or not. If you go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, where all the heroes of faith are listed in there, guess whose name you find in there? Samson. Samson is listed along with Abraham and Moses and David and all the people that you see, the heroes of faith. He's listed in this, and you're like, what? You know what that says to me? That we serve a God of amazing grace. There's always hope for you, always hope. So I leave you with this. What are you giving your strength to today? And who are you telling your secrets to? Let's pray. Father, I pray today that if any of us are here today and we're giving our strength to something that is destructive, we're giving our strength to something that is hurting us and maybe hurting the people around us, that right now, Jesus, just by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would speak to that or those individuals, Lord. Give them the courage to realize what they're doing. Give them clarity of mind to know what the next step would be. Lord, we pray that for those that have a secret and they're out there and they've carried the secret for a long time. They've never told anybody. Scared to death. But in this moment, Lord, that they would not only tell you their secret, but they would find somebody that could help them. Somebody that can give them support and help and advice to be set free from whatever that secret is that hurts their life. We pray that if there's anybody that is here today or watching who doesn't know you, that today would be the day that they would open their heart and their life up to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. If you'd like prayer to connect with us, please go to our website at pacificlifechurch.org, and we would love to connect with you.